I speak to you in the name of a living and loving God, Creator, Redeemer, Empowering Spirit. Amen. You ever had the experience of seeing something that is so familiar, reading something that is so familiar, and then reading it in a different way, with fresh eyes? Well, that was my experience a couple of weeks ago when I discovered that I was going to preach to what we well know, the prologue of John, rendered in the First Nations version. I also learned a word or a phrase that I'd never heard of before, dynamic equivalence. There'll be a test in the Great Hall afterwards. I'll ask if you know what that means. Dynamic equivalence is not literally a translation of word to word, but it's a translation of thought to thought. And what we read this morning, the First Nations version of the prologue of John, is the dynamic equivalence of what you would normally expect to hear on Christmas Eve. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I remember as a choir boy, living in absolute terror of the old canon that used to deliver those words from the altar at St. Matthias. We were sure it was God's voice, stentorian tones, and we would cower in our surplices and our cassocks. And I guess we never did figure out what he was saying, because it was all Greek rendered into English to us. Today, had that been delivered in a First Nations version, I may have understood what the old guy was actually saying. Footnote to that, I am now that old guy, right? Going blonde, bifocals and hearing aids, and a canon. So with fresh eyes, we hear from our brothers and sisters who exercise a spirituality, shouldn't surprise you, not dissimilar to ours. The other thing that happened to me when I looked at the possibility of preaching to that prologue was that all these images flooded into my brain, and I didn't know if I could get across what I wanted to say and not get all tongue-tied and confused. So I hope what I have to say makes sense to you. You can tell me after. But some of the images that came to me, one in particular, was the symbol or image of the eagle. And we heard about the eagle when we turned to the east. And the eagle is a very sacred animal in First Nations spirituality, representing balance, representing the teacher, and representing vision and teaching. Now, I began to look at that and then think about John the Evangelist. You probably know the symbol of John the Evangelist is an eagle. And we've always thought of John the Evangelist as a teacher and a visionary. So there's a common ground. There's a common ground in our spirituality. God wills that we find that common ground and respect that common ground and work with brothers and sisters from other cultures, expressing their attempts or their efforts to figure out the relationship with the divine in ways that we could resonate with. So the eagle was one such thing. Having looked at the eagle, then I went on a bird watching expedition, and I think Catherine Spencer Ross is somewhere out there. She and I wandered around the cathedral 2 weeks ago looking for eagles. Well, we found a dove, it's up there somewhere, Holy Spirit. We found a pelican. You may not know this, but the pelican is a symbol of sacrifice, you know, the myth that the pelican bleeds to feed her own young. We found what looked like an eagle, but if you read the booklet, it's actually a phoenix, and it's over there too. And the phoenix, of course, is a symbol of the resurrection. And we found a peacock, and the peacock is the symbol of eternal life. So we have our own symbols, or if you want, in another culture, we have our own totems. The eagle. Now, John's wonderful passage soars above creation and takes us to a place far above all divisions, far above all the discord that we as human beings are inclined to develop, to the realm of the divine, as does the eagle in First Nations spirituality. And it calls us into a place of harmony, just as the divine calls us into a place of harmony. If you'll allow me, I will briefly tell you the First Nations version of the opening lines of Genesis, and they go something like this. A long time ago, before the time of all days, the Great Spirit breathed across the waters like an eagle brooding over her nest. Somewhere else I read that the Talmudic teachings of those opening lines of Genesis suggest the word used to describe God's Spirit in the creation story we're familiar with were the same words used to describe an eagle hovering over a nest, willing its fledglings into flight. A love so deep and profound that it draws us and it draws the entire created order above all the levels of discord and chaos. Ex nihilo is the fancy Latin word, out of chaos. Suggest to me that all people of faith, all people of goodwill, all people who actually seek a relationship with the divine rather than get earthbound and stuck in a relationship with self, have this hunger, this innate desire to seek balance, to find harmony, to still chaos. But that can only be done in a relationship with the divine. And that was John's message. And I believe in the bottom of my heart, that is the message of the symbols in First Nations spirituality. Next time you see an eagle, I don't know, as a kid I always imagined flying, and I don't mean in a plane, I meant sort of hovering over all the cares and worries of this life, all the things that bemuse us and bewilder us, all the dissonances, all the false barriers that we create between ourselves, so that we can no longer see the face in God of God. If you were to turn to your right or your left in your pew right now, I would tell you, you are seeing the face of God. That person may not feel like it, but that's exactly what we see when we take the time to see that we're on a shared journey. Now, having said all that, and thinking about God lifting us up above all the cares and discord of this world, and what a gift that is, and what a gift the world is that we're called to nurture, it led me to wonder why the people who chose the lections for this Sunday in particular chose that passage from Isaiah and Paul's letter to the Philippians, which was harmoniously rendered, thank you very much, by the choir. I can't think of a more appropriate way of presenting that particular passage. And it occurred to me that there were two things in those readings that also speak to the discord that we sow, or the pains and sorrows that we bear, that God is able to lift us above in God's wonderful, glorious, and loving power. In the case of Isaiah, we read a passage in the first chapter. If you were to read the book of Isaiah, smack in the middle of the book of Isaiah, called the Book of Consolation. And the Book of Consolation begins with a very familiar passage. Comfort ye. Anybody who's heard the Messiah? Comfort my people. And it goes on to talk about the power and the glory and the will of God to raise people up, and we read it today, and lift them up on eagle's wings. A people in exile. They had lost their culture. They had been separated from their land. They had been exposed to the predations and the discord of other people. Also makes me think of the losses our First Nations people have endured over the ages. And yet in all of that, and in spite of all of that, God never abandoned them, and God always was present within their situation, so that they were able to embody God's love. They were able to find new ways to nurture each other, to nurture the creation, the gift of creation. And ultimately, in that particular story, they were restored. I think that's a wonderful thing to think about. Whatever your situation is, if you feel in exile from whatever you have formerly thought was your safe place or your home, God is still present, and God still calls out, and God still nurtures. So maybe that's the reason that the Isaiah passage was put into this particular liturgy. As for Philippians, again, that beautifully rendered piece of harmony, because the eagle is about harmony, you may or may not know that the community of the Philippians was the first church developed by Paul. And he had a very warm, intimate relationship with them. And he wrote with them. And the letter we have, he wrote from prison. And despite the fact that he was in the worst of all circumstances in jail, he was still able to talk about rejoicing. And he was still able to commend them for their glorious embodiment. And he enumerates them, if you were to read that passage again, you know, dedicating yourself to things that are true and beautiful and so on and so forth. Paul never lost sight of that. And he never lost sight of the gift they were as the community, even though he was in jail. That says something to me. Maybe it's a lesson for me when I get up and I'm particularly grumpy to realize that I don't need to be scripted by whatever I think is assailing me in the moment. That God is still present, and God is still able to raise me or you or anyone above all that, and to declare and to rejoice in God's presence. So I think that's a pretty good reading to have today. Taken all together, and you can hear an end insight here, right? Taken all together, we have the Isaiah prophecy talking about exile and how God is present with us even in those circumstances and empowering and nurturing and comforting us. That the letter to Paul could be written by a man even though he was in the worst circumstance and still rejoice in the community and see them as partners in creation, embodying and proclaiming God's love and God's purposes. And of course, John's prologue, raising us far above all those little boxes that we place each other in, calling us to join in partnership with all people of good faith who proclaim the power of the Spirit, the healing power of the Spirit through symbol, through word, through music, and the real possibility that if we are in relationship with that divine great Spirit, we stand more than a better chance to bring balance, to bring harmony, and to show love to all around us and heal the nations. And that's the task that's set before us. Thanks be to God for the opportunity. Amen.